Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, AB?
I'm good. I've been cleaning out my my house in the new year.
Ooh.
Here. Look what I found.
What? What is it?
I found the electronic Full House game. This is like a Game Boy.
What?
Have you ever seen this before?
I have seen it, but I...
Not in a while.
It's been not in a while. I forgot.
Yeah.
What could you possibly play? Like, what is the goal of the game?
Well, from what I can tell, I don't have the instructions.
Right.
But
And by the way, for those of you listening, to describe this, it's sort of like the precursor to a Game Boy, because it's before they had individual games that you could, like, put into the thing, or maybe they had them, but you could buy, like, separate little games for shows that they, you know, made merch out of or whatever. And this one is a Full House game. Mm-hmm. It is all of the fantastic pink, blue, yellow 80s, early 90s that you could imagine. And it's got a picture of Steph and DJ and Michelle, and then another picture of Michelle on the side. So I feel like you're getting Michelle to do something.
Yes.
Is that the, okay?
The object of the game is to move Michelle back and forth across the screen. And you have to time.
This is in the day. Wow, this is high tech.
Yeah, you have to. You see, I've got little buttons over here. You have to move the button
like,
left
or like
right.
It's like pixelated, you know, it's.
Yeah.
It makes Pac-Man look advanced.
Oh, yeah. There's only one scene. There's like a checkered blue floor, which I guess was like the checkered blue couch. And
right?
You have to move Michelle back and forth and time it so that she high fives her sisters at the exact right moment. And then she sees Danny and she throws trash into the trash can. And you earn points depending on if you do this at the right time. Like if Michelle misses
right.
The girls in the high five, you don't get those points.
What was it? Pong? And you have to like move the thing across so that it hits in the right, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't remember I had this. And then I didn't know if it worked. And all I had to do was change the batteries. It works. It's a
and
great
now
little
you've
game.
Been, now you've been playing it for 3 days.
I've been doing nothing but that.
You've been doing nothing but playing the Full House game. And you've lost an entire day.
I bet
incredible.
You Jensen has this. I bet he bought it on eBay for $1,000.
Right.
And it's in his
closet. No, he has a picture of it on a t-shirt that he bought for $1,000. That was a vintage t-shirt is what it was.
Very accurate.
How dare you? How dare you? But I also am putting in a $200 offer on the game. All right. Bye.
Oh, I love this. I love all of the swag. I love this
amazing
stuff. It's just,
I've got some cleaning out to do. This spring, I am having some home organizers come to my house who've come here before.
Oh, great.
From Tidy Style Home. And I'm going to have them do my garage because it's scary.
Scary.
It's scary. And I know there's some Full House stuff in there. And so like, so I kind of want to, you know, I haven't sorted through a lot of it in a while. And yeah, it needs some love because the garage used to be under control and now it's slowly creeping forward.
That happens.
Closer and closer to where you're like, oh no, there's no room.
That happens with kids. Then you have all of your stuff from your childhood and then all of your kids
right, stuff. All the kids stuff. And yeah, and when Mescal moved from New York, he has all his stuff you know, got a ton of tools. And so yeah, the garage is crazy.
And you can't just throw stuff out because you might be throwing out good Full House.
You know what it
merch,
makes me
you know?
Wonder though is with all of the stuff in the garage that they just turned into, I mean, they must be paying storage fees in San Francisco like you wouldn't believe.
Oh.
For easy. All of the Tanner stuff.
Oh, just because for the decor, the holiday
garage,
decor.
All the garage that was, you know, full of stuff has been turned into Joey's room. So where's all the stuff?
Oh, that's right. Well,
I mean, maybe they put it in the gigantic attic that apparently can also be turned into a living space.
That's true. I bet it's all in the attic right now.
Right.
Until that becomes
Jesse
and Becky's
apartment. Then they start paying for separate storage. Okay.
But yeah, it's true. And I don't recall, we haven't had a Christmas episode yet. So I don't know if Danny goes all out for Christmas and decorates the way DJ does in Fuller House where she goes all out for Christmas. I don't know.
I think so. I've seemed to remember some fairly large trees.
Okay. Okay. So Danny needs a large attic to store all of this stuff.
Right. Well, luckily he's got one that can fit an entire family of four. So
yeah.
All right. Shall we get into this episode?
Yes. Let's get into the episode you've been waiting for because you watched
the episode
it a million weeks ago in preparation.
Yes. I watched it a million weeks ago and I keep thinking that we're on it and it's not.
Yes.
So we're finally here.
We're here. Welcome back to How Rude Tanneritos. I'm Andrea Barber.
And I am Jody Sweeten.
And today we are finally discussing season 2, episode 5, entitled Jingle Hell.
Can we just say though that we used hell in a show title, and I mean, you know me, I don't have a problem with that,
right?
But I find for Full House, like again, we've had much more like innuendo jokes and things like that. I always thought it was a much more like sanitized version of stuff, but apparently,
I thought so
hell
too.
hell was fine in the '80s.
Who knew? Well, and you. Even said you say the word hell like if in last season 1 didn't
mean
that was part of your line one time.
Yeah, it's which you know I personally don't have a problem with, but I feel like
Janice Sweeten does for sure. Janice Sweeten does not like the title of this.
Not now, she's given up. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel like hell is it's a descriptor. It's not a bad, you know.
Yeah. That's sort of on the cusp.
I'm sure. I'm sure I'll get hate mail for that one. But yeah, I don't think hell is a bad word. But anyway, that's me.
That's true. There's far worse words they could have chosen. So hell.
It's true.
Okay.
Definitely one of the seven you can't see on television. Okay.
Okay. Well, this originally aired on November 11th, 1988, and it goes a little something like this. Joey becomes Jesse's jingle writing partner when they team up to create a cat food ad. But things don't go according to plan. In addition, DJ and Stephanie get into a fight, and Michelle is ready to potty train.
Oh.
There's a lot going on in this episode.
There is a lot. Yeah, there's a lot happening.
This episode was directed by Peter Baldwin, and it was written by Dennis Rentzler and Mark Warren, two very familiar names who stay with us for the rest of the run of the series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
They are great, great gentlemen. I have fond memories of them.
Yeah.
Love that. Okay, so we have two guest stars this week. We have Nathan Nishiguchi back as Harry Takayama. Love this kid so much.
So great.
He's such a great character. And we have Stacey Alden as the secretary. She played Marsha. She played someone in Nightmare on Elm Street 3. And she appeared on Married with Children. She hasn't acted since 1989. Okay.
Oh.
That's a trend here. Like Nathan hasn't acted since he was a child.
Yeah, we really just put people right out of the business. They were like, yeah, I'm
done.
Yeah, I worked with animals and children, and now I don't want to do this anymore.
Yes. Yeah. Killing the dream, Full House.
Yep.
Since 1989.
Since 1987. Yeah.
We open with our cold open in DJ and Stephanie's room. DJ is flipping through a magazine, and she's asking Michelle, isn't Patrick Swayze cute?
See,
here it is.
I knew he was mentioned again. I knew it.
This is the second episode in a row where we talk about just how hot he is, and he deserves it. I mean, Patrick Swayze.
Man, this was like peak Dirty Dancing. I feel like
yes,
Patrick Swayze was.
He was everything.
He was hot. I also hear he was like a pretty awesome human.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just heard that too. Great love for Patrick Swayze.
Yep, nothing but love, and there's just nothing hotter than a man who can dance as well.
Fabulous dancer. Such my a good God, dancer. A fabulous dancer. Yep. Love it, love it, love it.
I'm going to go watch Dirty Dancing right after we're done recording.
Okay.
So Michelle opens her mouth wide in disbelief. DJ chews her gum and blows a big bubble, and Michelle pops the bubble and tells her it's funny.
That was something that Ashley and Mary Kate were doing at the time.
They were popping.
Avery would shoot. They were popping people's bubbles on their. Yeah,
they were obsessed with that. I do remember that.
Yes, and they would always be. You know, if you were chewing gum or you had something, they'd come up and like touch your mouth. What having?
Yeah, yep. They were very obsessed with what you were eating in your mouth.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Or putting. They would put olives on their fingers. Do you remember?
Yes,
they would put olives on my finners.
Yes, olives on my finners. Yeah,
so cute. So DJ shakes her head and smiles as she tells Michelle, not funny. Michelle utters a yeah, and then she kind of looks at her hand that's all sticky now after popping the bubble. And that's it. That's the whole cold open. It's very short.
Yep, that's very short.
They're just like, okay, there's no time for storytelling in these cold opens.
No, it's just a cute Michelle moment, I find. That's what the teaser's cold open seems to be.
And that's the running theme here. It's always
a Michelle related little moment.
Because babies are cute. Everybody loves babies and what they're doing. Right. And now we're kind of, you know, you can see us getting closer and closer to the Olsen mania that is to come in later seasons.
For sure.
So we open the show for real in Jesse's room. Jesse is wearing glasses, which makes him look very serious for Jesse Katsopoulos. Yeah. He's playing the piano and singing a very beautiful, heartfelt song. There is crumpled paper and takeout boxes all around him, proving that he's been hard at work. And the camera pans to a sign that reads, Fred's Tire Town. Jesse yells in frustration when he realizes he's singing to a tire. He starts to beat himself up, saying out loud, come on, this is your job. Think, think. He reminds himself, you don't kill bugs anymore. You write advertising jingles. You've sold one. One. And he scratches his head in frustration, just like John does in real life.
Yeah, it's just a little head scratcher.
He never stopped doing that. When he's just, deep in thought or frustrated, just scratch your head.
Yep.
Jesse convinces himself he needs inspiration. So he looks to the poster of Sammy Davis Jr., and he
which is a change. Yeah, we've moved slightly out of Elvis and now we're moving more into, which is evident also in his suits and things, moving more into Rat Pack era,
right.
Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis. Yeah.
There's a picture of the Rat Pack. I hope this isn't my everywhere you look, but there's a picture of the Rat Pack behind him. He's added some things to the decor in his room.
Yeah.
So Jesse's talking to the poster and he's begging, my main man, speak to me. There's a knock at Jesse's door and Steph walks in announcing, it's me, Stephanie Tanner. She walks in with Harry, announcing to Uncle Jesse, this is my friend Harry. Jesse says hi and Harry happily says, hi, Uncle Jesse. Steph tells Jesse that Harry is in her class. He sits next to the crayon bin. Whoa. That's very impressive.
It's very, the crayon bin is, I mean, it's the place, it's really the hot spot to be.
It's where all the cool kids sit.
Yeah, it's where all the cool kids hang out.
And Jesse, obviously preoccupied, he tells Harry, yes, that's very impressive. He sits back down at the piano and tells the kids he has 2 hours to write a jingle for Fred's Tire Town, so they need to let him work. Steph happily
saved it till the last minute.
I know, right?
2 hours.
How much time did he have to write this thing? He's definitely... Right? He's definitely got a brain fog happening here.
Yeah.
Steph tells him, I can help. In school, I wrote a poem about milk. And Harry says, it made me want a cookie real bad. He's so
Harry
supportive
is
of you.
He is just my number one. Like, go Steph. Live is great. Yeah, I love it.
He loves you
Everybody
so
needs
much.
A Harry Takayama.
Yeah, he is your number one supporter. Your cheerleader. I love this kid so much. So Jesse explains to Stephanie, I'm involved in the creation of a very sophisticated musical composition. Let's see if this sparks anything. He starts singing the first part of his jingle, and Steph adds her own flair, singing, "It's a very, 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 very nice place." And Harry shakes his head in disbelief, announcing, "She's done it again."
He really is like just Steph's hype man. He's great.
Steph can do no wrong in Harry's eyes. So Jesse thanks Stephanie for trying and then pushes the children out of the room so he can continue managing his brain block. Immediately, Joey walks in carrying Michelle. Jesse groans. He can't get a moment of peace. But Joey has big news. Michelle just said poo-poo. Which, appropriately enough.
It's appropriately enough, Dave is the one that announces this fact. And also, that's our nickname for Dave.
Yeah.
And he calls us poo-poo.
We're all poo-poo.
When he said this, I just laughed.
This is the origin. This is the origin story.
That's what I thought.
The name
I was like,
poo-poo.
Is this where it came from? We all just started calling each other poo-poo? Yeah, I don't know.
So Jesse very sarcastically says, "Well, thank you for sharing that with me, Joseph." And Joey emphasizes, "This kid is not all talk. First she said it, then she did it. I called Danny at work, and he said it's a sure sign that Michelle is ready for potty training."
Woohoo!
Which is very impressive. I feel like Michelle's very young for potty training, or maybe I just waited too long to...
She's a toddler?
Yeah.
Two-ish?
Is she even two yet? I thought she was like 18 months, but maybe she's closer to two.
Well, I mean, I think she's closer to two in real life. I mean, we've obviously watched season one right into season two, so it feels a little shorter for us, but there's definitely been some time that's passed, so she's more like 2.5.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, then that's definitely appropriate. Okay.
Yeah.
I waited till my kids were closer to three, and then it becomes a lot easier once you wait until they're practically tying their own
shoes.
There's
some people that are like, work with like potty training infants. It's about like reading their body language and putting them on
you watch for their cues. Okay.
Yeah, you watch for their cues and then you put them on the potty at like 6 months and you just kind of hold them there and then they start associating with it. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't do that. I didn't. That was too advanced for me.
Yeah, no. Yeah, oh yeah, that felt like a lot.
I was never that in tune with my kids and their cues. So.
Right. Yeah, I wasn't just sitting there like, what are you doing? Right. Although I did, they would go hide. They would go hide behind something and you're like, oh
they're pooping.
Here we go. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Damn it.
So Jesse exclaims, "All right." And he gives Michelle a high five, which adds a huge smile to her face. She's very proud of herself.
So cute. Yeah.
Joey asks how the tire jingle is coming along. And Jesse admits, "I'm all dried up. I got jingle block."
You've only written one, Jesse.
I know. He's very stressed out. You know, he's only sold one.
Well, he procrastinated until he's got 2 hours.
Yeah, no wonder he's stressed out.
That's true.
Joey tells him to lighten up. It'll come to him. Joey turns around to show Michelle the logo for Fred's Tire Town, and he asks, "It's a cool tire, huh?" When she gives no response, he answers his own question in an exaggerated California surfer accent. "Yeah, it's like totally, totally radial, dude," with a cool little hair flip at the end.
And his hair was long enough to actually get a little motion there.
Yeah. Jesse stares at him blankly and tells him to get out. Joey mimics Michelle saying bye-bye, and Jesse closes the door and mocks Joey's exaggerated surfer voice, saying totally radial, dude, accompanied by the hair flip. Jesse shakes his head, repeating totally radial. He looks at his Sammy Davis Jr. poster again, and he asks, you think? Jesse scratches his head and admits, it's kind of funny. He realizes it's kind of hooky, and he's singing totally radial, totally radial. It has sparked an idea.
It sparked something. Yep. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm sure every one of our listeners can attest that we all carry around different stressors, both big and small. And I carry around quite a few of them myself.
I know when I bottle up my problems and emotions, it can start to have a negative effect in my day-to-day life. Therapy is my safe space where I can get things off my chest and figure out how to solve the things that are weighing me down.
Seriously, therapy is an amazing tool to help you be the best version of yourself. And whether you're aiming to set new boundaries, something that is sometimes missing in our episodes, or learn positive coping skills, or learn to heal from trauma, therapy can help.
With BetterHelp, all you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/howrude today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/howrude.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
We cut to DJ and Stephanie's room where Harry is walking around the room shooting a fake gun when he groans in pain, holding his chest and exclaiming, "Ugh, you got me." He tumbles to the floor, exaggerating his death with a big leg flare out. Stephanie is totally unfazed. She walks over to him saying, "Master of the universe, your tea is ready."
It's a reference to He-Man, by the way, in case anyone was wondering why Steph's calling him Master of the Universe.
Oh, yeah, He-Man.
It's not some weird thing. Yeah, it's He-Man was Master of the Universe.
Oh, that was great.
And
great
show. And She-Ra.
And She-Ra, yes.
I was a huge fan of.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. I agree.
Yeah.
But Harry stands up. He corrects her. "I am not Master of the Universe anymore. I am G.I. Joe. And G.I. Joe doesn't drink tea." You guys are so cute together. This is just a fantastic conversation between six-year-olds.
It's true.
So Stephanie gets very close to his face, very, very close, and reminds him, "He does when he plays house with me." And Harry obliges, "Got it, chief." He knows who the boss is.
Remember who is chief, sir.
Harry and Stephanie go to sit for tea, and Stephanie says, "Sweet and low, Joe." They both take a sip from their tiny teacups when Harry shouts, "This tea is poison!" They both grab their necks in pain, pretending to choke as they stumble around the room before flopping onto DJ's bed in laughter.
I just remember loving moments like that because it was you could go so over the top and ridiculous as a little kid, and it was like, just go for it.
It's so cute. It's so imaginative. It's just such a thing that kids did back in the day. It's so cute.
Right.
I just love all of your interactions together. But then DJ runs in. She's dressed in her karate uniform, and she yells at the kids, "Freeze, nerd bombers, up, up, up," and she shoos them off her bed. She threatens, "You better keep away from my stuff. I just got back from karate class, and I am pumped." She follows this with some karate punches and some "hi-yah, hi-yah" to really get her point across.
They're not quite karate punches.
Oh, they're not?
There's not, like, her thumbs were, everything was, I don't know how she got her purple belt. That's all I'm saying. I don't know how she got her purple belt with that technique. And I've never even really taken that many karate classes, but I was like, I don't know that that's a thing. But
it's karate inspired, I guess. So
it's
inspired moves, anyways.
Yes.
So Steph responds, "You're just jealous because I have a boyfriend and you don't." The crowd gives a big ooh. And DJ snaps back, "You're dreaming. You don't have a boyfriend." Steph smiles proudly, admitting, "It so happens I do." When DJ questions who, Stephanie announces, "Him." And she points to Harry. Harry's
news
eyes.
To him.
Yeah, it's true. His eyes get wide and he's like, "Me?" Steph shrugs and tells him, "You're a boy. You're my friend." And she gets real close to him again and concludes, "That makes you my boyfriend." He nods and he says, "Got it, chief." Harry's just willing to go along with anything.
He's like, sure, whatever.
Yep, the ultimate team player here. They continue to play and Steph asks, "More tea, soldier?" They take a sip from their tiny teacups again, and believe it or not, the tea is still poison. They choke and fall over. DJ watches them and says aloud, "I'm never having kids." which is funny because then she goes on to have three.
Right.
Back in the Tanner's living room, Danny walks in yelling for Joey. He asks Joey where his little genius is, referring to Michelle. And Joey admits, the last time I saw Madame Curie, she was licking squash off the high chair. They both get a kick out of this, and Joey tells Danny that she's taken a nap. Danny excitedly opens a package, revealing the latest high-tech potty that he bought for Michelle.
Which I'm pretty sure was just a regular potty with like a kitchen timer glued on it.
It didn't look very high
tech. There was no high, right.
It was plastic. Like, it was pink.
Yeah. It was plastic. It was pink. And there was like a little thing on the back of it. And I was like, that's just like a kitchen timer that they like double stick tape to it.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Props.
Very, yes. Very high.
How do we make this?
Japan toilet, I'll tell you.
Oh, you know what I mean? If it was a bidet, Michelle would have been potty trained a year ago.
Right. You know? She was like, I'm never leaving this thing. Yeah.
But it is Japanese and state of the art and digital, as Danny tells Joey.
This is the second reference we've made to Japan in this show. And then the fact that we went there.
Right.
Eventually.
Kismet. It's meant to be.
It's the power of Full House.
So Joey sighs, telling Danny it's all happening so fast. Pretty soon, Michelle will be off to school. And Danny adds, and meeting boys. Joey continues, going to the prom. Danny spirals, getting married. And Joey suggests, we ought to think about having another one. Jesse struts through the door, telling the guys, the kid's back. Joey asks, you sold the jingle? And Jesse exclaims, yes, sir. Danny congratulates him, and Jesse thanks them both, singing a part of his new jingle, It's Totally Radial at Fred's Tire Town. Danny nods, telling Jesse, totally radial, that's pretty clever. Jesse tells him, don't look at me, Joey came up with it. Joey asks, I did? Well, of course I did. Jesse tells him, thanks to you, I have a check for $827. And half of it, my friend, is yours.
I wish I was very proud of Jesse for that. Because I know when he first took the thing, I was like, wait, are you taking Joey's idea? And yep. I was like, is that the... kind of what happened in the show, I couldn't remember. And then I was very pleased when he gave Joey his credit and half the paycheck.
Same. I was shocked and pleasantly surprised that that's a very generous.
Very big of Jesse.
Very big of Jesse. Jesse doesn't normally think of others quite so much.
I was shocked. Yeah.
It was very nice. He's a good partner. Joey thanks him and acknowledges how generous it is. And he admits, you know, what's real important to me is that I get it in cash. Hee-hee. Jesse tells Joey that he helped snap him out of his jingle slump. Jesse tells him, I almost feel like hugging you. Joey sticks out his arms, and Jesse emphasizes, almost. Danny follows the guys into the kitchen and tells them they should celebrate. He offers, let's all go out for non-fat frozen yogurt.
Which was huge in the late 80s. Penguins. There was another one. Yeah, like that was the rage.
That
was the thing. It was, yeah, non-fat frozen yogurt.
Yeah. I laughed because I'm like, is this just Danny being Danny? Like kind of like, you know, he's just, he's kind of square. Like, of course this would be his version of a wild night out.
Of a wild night out, right.
Frozen yogurt. But yeah, that was the thing back in the 80s. Yeah. You're right. Jesse responds, before we get down and get totally funky, there's one more piece of good news. The agency is giving me a shot at a national commercial. It's this thing for Kitty Crispy's cat food. We got to come up with a funny type jingle thing. Jesse looks over to Joey and asks, if you have a little time, maybe you'd like to do a little work together. Maybe you and I could become... Joey interrupts, yes! And Jesse asks, partners? Joey repeats, yes, of course I will. Jesse is ecstatic. He admits that he really needs Joey for this jingle. This could make his career take off. Joey assures him they will make a great team. Jesse agrees, saying they'll be like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Joey asks if he can be Butch, and Jesse shakes his head, saying, not in that shirt. Referring to Joey's very colorful tie-dye shirt that he's wearing, which is a trend of Joey's. He loves his colorful shirts.
Again, the 80s. Mm-hmm. Color was big.
Absolutely. So we cut to the bathroom, where Danny is encouraging Michelle to go potty. He tells her, with any luck, this is something you'll be doing the rest of your life. Danny has her watch closely as he demonstrates with the potty Polly doll and her tiny toilet. Danny explains that after she makes the bell go ding ding, she gets a cookie. Michelle grabs her potty and puts it on her head, calling it a hat.
Which I was like, wait, what? And then I realized it was like just a bowl, I think, that they had there for maybe the, but I was, because I was like, oh no, is that, wait, what?
Yeah,
why is
like,
she putting, going in the bowl? And then I was like, oh no, okay, never mind.
It was a bowl that was kind of painted like, in the
yeah,
same
yeah, yeah, yeah.
spirit
it was,
as the
it
potty.
Did not look, yeah. I think that was probably the thing is they were like, well, we can't have her put the potty on her head because that's disgusting.
Yeah.
So they had a bowl and yeah.
It's very smart. Very smart. And Danny shakes his head telling her, bad hat, not a big hit in the Easter parade.
My kids went through a phase where they would put things on their head.
It's
and
so
we
cute.
Had a game and we had a game and we were like, that's not a hat. Aww. And then they would like think it was funny to put things that weren't hats on their head. And like that was a,
oh,
yeah,
that's so cute. That's so cute. I love kids and their imaginations. So we cut to Jesse's room. Jesse and Joey are practicing for their next big jingle hit. Jesse suggests that they should try some different musical styles. They start with reggae. And Joey improvises a cat jingle in this style. Day-o, we ate the cat food every day-o. Jesse stops the track saying, all right, we got that out of our system. Jesse suggests that they try a little conga thing next. And conga drums start playing and Joey starts dancing to the beat. Jesse asks to the beat, do we like this music? And Joey tells him to the beat, I think I threw my back out. Very relatable.
It's a story of my life these days. Yeah.
Yes. Jesse decides that they should go back to their roots, get a little rock and roll going. He starts to play a tune on his keyboard and Joey exclaims, oh, Big Daddy, now this music says cat food. Jesse concludes that that's the style. That's the motif. Now they just need words. He tells Joey, I mean, my partner happens to be the king of comedy. He puts him on the spot and says, ready, Joey? Be funny.
Because that's how it works, right?
Right.
And go.
It's like pressing a button. And right. Be funny. Joey starts off with, oh, hey, what a great audience. So where are you from? Oh, cut it out.
This is the first cut it out.
I love it. Here it is. The origin
is.
Of cut it out. And we just heard
cut
Dave.
It out.
We just heard Dave when he was a guest on the pod. He told how he came up with that, which was originally Mark Sandrowski's bit that he stole from a director and best friend of Dave Coulier, Mark Sandrowski.
Yep.
Love it.
Yeah.
It's all coming together. Jesse is unamused, though, and he tells Joey, I need, like, something catchy. Like, I need it to be cat food funny. Ready? Be funny. Joey's thinking of ideas, and Jesse pressures him again to be funny. Joey panics and says, two cats walk into a bar.
It's just all of the like setups for jokes. Like, okay, I love a priest, a rabbi, and a cat are sitting in a rowboat.
Yes. He's going through his Rolodex of
all the jokes. Like, let me just put a cat in there.
Yes. So Joey tries to convince him, it's not me, it's the room. It's like working a telethon. He tells Jesse.
It's like trying to do comedy over Zoom.
Yes. Yeah. it's not working.
It doesn't translate.
So he tells Jesse, we need a funny room. Let's go to my room. My room is the funny room. And Jesse says, okay. We cut to the kitchen where Steph and Harry are having a popsicle eating contest. They both look at each other and hold their heads in pain. Brain freeze.
Ouch.
Harry admits ice cream race. Bad idea.
Yeah.
Jesse and Joey walk through the kitchen singing in unison, funny room, funny room. Everybody's going to the funny room. Harry smiles at Steph and tells her, I love coming here. It is a really
so
fun house.
He's just so impressed with this weird family. They've got horses. Yes. There's people yelling funny room around. It's just
there's popsicles.
Else in this
there's cheese donuts. Like, there's just, this house has got everything.
It's true.
So DJ walks in and looks over at the kids eating their popsicles. And she mentions to Steph, hey, I was saving those ice cream bars for me and Kimmy. They're mine. And Steph sadly reports, well, they don't have your name on them. And DJ shows her the wrapper and proves, yes, they do. And Stephanie exclaims, well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. Which
makes me think that Steph saw the name on there and was like, well.
Is she playing
like,
dumb?
She was totally
she
trying to be
know?
Like, well, they don't have you. I think Steph's playing dumb.
You think she's playing dumb. All right.
Yeah.
She wanted a popsicle. She wanted to have a race with Harry. So she just stole
it. She was like, whatever.
So Steph puts her semi-eaten popsicle in DJ's hand to give it back to her. And DJ is annoyed and yells, you're always messing up my stuff. I warned you, and I'm going to get you back. You won't know when it's coming, and you won't know how it's coming, but it's coming. DJ storms out of the kitchen, and Steph turns to Harry and asks, can you see why she doesn't have a boyfriend?
which is the best.
Just
the vicious. Shade.
Stephanie's
shade is just chef's kiss. I love it.
Yes.
It's true. So funny.
But also like the threat of like I've heard my kids yell at that. I'm gonna get you, and you're like, ooh, I don't like.
Yeah,
but that you won't see it coming. You don't know when it's coming, but it's coming.
The threat is very much there, even though they don't know what it's gonna be yet. So next, we are in Joey's room in the basement. Joey's pumping himself up, warming up his funny. He starts to play a fake trumpet before rattling off a multitude of impressions. Joey urges him to think cat food before pressuring him to start. Joey has an idea: a duet. A guy sings with his cat. And Jesse admits that's good. He runs over to his keyboard to play a tune. Joey starts to sing "When I Went to My Cat the Other Day" and then stops himself, telling Jesse, "You be the guy, I'll be the cat." Jesse loves it, so Joey suggests, "When we make the presentation, I'll sing in a cat voice." Jesse loves it, and Joey continues, "When we go in there, I'll wear a cat suit." Jesse immediately yells, "I hate it."
Yeah, no. Men in a unitard's never a great idea.
He went a little bit too far.
Yeah, it's not. It's never. No. No one wants to see that.
A grown man in a cat suit?
In a small meeting room? No. No conference room? No one wants to see that.
No. But Joey wants this. Joey pleads, "Come on, partner. I can get a cat costume. My friend was in a Broadway play." Oh, what the heck was the name of it again? Jesse painfully says, "Cats." And Joey's like, "Oh yeah, that's the one."
Yeah, that one, right.
Such a classic Joey moment here. It's so funny. Jesse scratches his head again and reminds Joey that tomorrow morning, we're going in to make a presentation to a very important advertising agency. It's going to be a room full of serious suits and ties. We can't go in there acting like amateurs. Trust me, I'm a professional.
Slow down, Jesse. You've sold one jingle.
One.
Settle.
Yes.
Settle.
He's a little overconfident, but he's got a point, too. Like
He's got a point. Cat suits, never a great idea.
Joey tells him, "Hey, trust me, I'm a professional, too," as he's eating handfuls of this cat food.
Oh, God.
It's so good.
Right.
He continues, "They want a funny jingle. Let's go in there and be funny." Jesse snatches the cat food out of Joey's hand in annoyance. He yells, "No cat suit!" And Joey asks, "Well, how about just ears and a tail?" Joey emphasizes, "This is no joke now. You look me in the eye and you promise me no cat suit." He asks, "So I guess the 6-foot ball of yarn is out of the question?"
I love that, Joey. Yeah.
I love their dynamic.
6-foot ball of yarn, yeah.
So next, we cut to the ad agency.
Ooh.
We're here. This is it. This is the moment. Jesse tells the advertising executives that his partner will be there shortly. He asks, "In the meantime, can I get you anything? Freshen up your coffee? Sharpen your pencils?" The camera cuts to a group of executives all staring back at him blankly.
It's a very true room of executives. So it's just...
Oh, it's a tough room. They're not, they're not nice. They're not cordial.
No.
They're very serious.
Yes.
Joey enters the room in a full suit and just
looking handsome.
He looks very handsome. This is, we're back to Joe, to serious, like, business attire Joe. He looks great. Jesse immediately introduces him to the group as Joseph Gladstone. Jesse starts the presentation. "My partner and I have worked long and hard to come up with a campaign that we feel has strong consumer appeal. May I present?" And Joey holds up a cat puppet dressed in a red suit jacket and a top hat and a monocle, causing Jesse to stutter, "Cat puppet?" He quickly composes himself and announces, "Cat puppet," to the executives, who do not seem amused at all.
Which is unfortunate, because cat puppets are always funny. Puppets in general, always funny.
Oh, and Joey loves his puppets.
This is the first of many puppets.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Jesse whispers, "Joey, I think you and I have to have a little talk." Joey announces to the group, "Right after this word from Kitty Crispies." Jesse tries to stop him, but Joey presses play on the tape recorder, forcing them to start. Jesse starts to sing as Joey waves the cat puppet back and forth. Joey sings through the cat puppet in a cartoony voice, and Jesse keeps pushing the cat puppet down and repeating the lines that the cat puppet just sang. But the cat puppet interrupts him. Jesse continues.
"How about a brand new treat?"
Yes. So cute. Jesse continues the jingle, and Joey dances the cat puppet up and down Jesse's arm. And they sing the last line in unison. And Joey opens his briefcase, revealing three more kitten puppets singing backup.
Genius. Just, I mean, he's got a chorus of cat puppets. You know, he has put some time and effort into this.
He
I don't know why Jesse is mad.
He
didn't come in a cat suit. And he's got not only one cat puppet, three miniature ones.
He's got a total of four cat puppets.
Total of four cat puppets.
With costumes and voices.
Yeah, this wasn't cheap.
No.
Jesse, you know, he really put some effort into this. I feel like he's being a little harsh.
This is kind of like the early beginnings of Full House Rewind, to be honest. We got puppets, we got voices, we got songs.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on here. So Jesse continues the jingle as Joey walks the cat puppet around to each executive, doing dance moves to each of them. Joey follows right behind. Jesse follows right behind, trying to do damage control.
Well, technically, Joey is behind the cat puppet. So it's
true.
It's cat puppet, Joey, then Jesse.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So then Joey rubs the cat puppet on a half-bald man's head, messing up his hair. And Jesse tries to fix it while continuing to scene. This is so cringe and so funny.
Right? I know.
I can just feel Jesse's mortification here that
I mean,
Joey's
could you imagine? Right. Everything's going great up until the moment the cat puppet starts, you know, fondling some bald man's head, and then it just goes south.
So Jesse grabs the puppet and drags him to the front of the room, finishing the jingle with a bang as the audience applauds. But the executive...
He finishes the jingle with a meow, with the cats and the chorus and their... I mean, it was brilliant.
It's a full production.
Was A+.
Joey has put some time and thought into this. And everyone loves it except the executives, who are still not impressed, not laughing.
One guy's still trying to fix his hair.
Right.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
So we cut to the living room where Danny is chasing Michelle around, saying, come here, you little food processor. He sits her on his lap and assures her, don't worry, no more potty training today. All I really want is for you to be happy, get good grades, and get into an Ivy League college. Michelle, who is very, very clearly staring at someone off stage, Danny continues and says, of course, most major universities do want you to be potty trained.
Very true.
Danny gives Michelle a kiss and the audience goes, aw. Steph runs downstairs yelling, Daddy, look what DJ did. She pulls a string of shoes behind her that are all tied together by their laces.
Brilliant, by the way.
This is great.
I mean, A+ on the sibling, like.
This is good payback.
Plotting.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is great.
This was well
this
thought
is,
out.
Yeah.
DJ follows behind yelling, I did it for your own good. And Steph threatens, boy, are you going to get it? She looks at her dad and asks, ready? On your mark, get set, punish. Now, we got to talk about these outfits here, first of all. Because Candace, you know, she's got this oversized purple sweater with matching purple flats.
Yeah.
And then you are wearing another 3D sweater with hot chocolate on.
Of
it
course.
It says hot chocolate. It's got it hot chocolate.
It does say hot chocolate. It's,
it.
Yeah, it's turquoise, right? I think it was like kind of a bluish color.
It was blue. It was fantastic.
Very cute. The sweaters of the 80s, you know, for those of you who weren't actually alive and you think that like ugly Christmas sweater parties are just a thing that like we invented, these sweaters existed.
Yeah.
And they were, people wore them actually. Yeah. Like, not like, look how stupid this is, but like, look how cool this is.
It was very cool.
So, I cannot say enough about the sweater and the tactile accessories on these sweaters.
You were styling.
Also made them very hard to wash. I mean, not like I was washing them, but
Right. But yeah, did you have to dry clean? I feel like these are dry clean only because of the...
I feel like there was a lot of stuff that was like pinned on, so you had to like turn it in. Yeah, it was not practical for children.
Definitely not practical for a six-year-old who's doing popsicle eating contests, probably spilling a lot of things on her shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not practical, but very fashionable, indeed. Sure. So DJ says, she's always messing with my stuff. I had to teach her a lesson. And Danny says, I'll take it from here. First, he addresses Stephanie, saying, you know that we need to treat each other's property with respect. Then he looks to DJ, telling her, in this family, we do not tie each other's shoes together unless there's some kind of weird emergency. DJ says, okay, and Steph says, sure, as both girls walk away in different directions. But Danny stops them, saying, red light, what's our rule after we fight? The girls say in unison, never walk away angry. Danny tells them that's very good and encourages them to apologize. The girls walk up to each other and let out a disingenuous, sorry.
This was great.
Such a sibling thing.
I've seen
thing.
My two do this. Sorry.
Yeah.
Right. They're
you
like,
could
yeah.
not be less genuine about that
right.
sorry. They both look to their dad for approval, and he tells DJ to help Stephanie untie her shoes.
That's going to take a while.
Michelle says poo-poo in the middle of this lecture.
I mean, and, as you do when you're 2.5.
Hey.
Dave still says it.
Not much has changed, right?
Yeah.
Danny gets very excited, telling Michelle, oh, hey, why don't we just mosey on upstairs, you know, and sit down, maybe on the potty, and we'll thumb through some college catalogs. He's very excited about this breakthrough.
It's okay.
When Danny walks away, Stephanie shouts, okay, DJ, you heard the man. Untie my shoes. DJ corrects her. The man said, help untie her shoes. Here's some help. Start with the little white sneaker. Steph responds, you have to untie them too. They start arguing back and forth. Jesse and Joey burst through the door, Joey yelling, no, I didn't, and Jesse yelling back, yes, you did, while Steph and DJ are also yelling at each other, all four of them in unison. Yeah. This is a great bit. This is fantastic. All four of them stop once they realize they're doing the exact same thing. And then Joey walks away, yelling again, yes, you did. Stephanie blames DJ, saying, see what you started? As DJ gives her a nasty glare. Love the parallels. Excellent writing.
Yeah.
In the kitchen, Joey defensively asks, why do I get all the blame for this, huh? They said, thank you very much, but we're going another way. Jesse explains that that's advertising lingo for put your puppet where the sun don't shine. Joey tells him, I took a risk. I dared to be silly. And Jesse says, why didn't you tell me before you dared to be silly? You promised me.
I mean, it is sort of a surprise to come in and be doing an entirely different pitch than the other person is prepared for.
I'm kind of team Jesse here, you know?
Kind of, they're both, Joey needed to be like, hey, bro, this is what we're doing. Jesse needed to maybe let Joey be a little more creative, you know?
True, but ultimately you need to communicate with your business partner
right.
and tell them
right.
what you're planning. Don't
right.
surprise them with a brand new pitch right in the middle
not
of the pitch.
Not everyone loves a puppet surprise.
Right.
I do, but not everyone does.
Exactly. So Joey reminds him, hey, I kept my promise. I did not wear a cat suit. Fair point. But Jesse snaps back, you wore a cat suit on your hand and then you stabbed me in the back with it.
Ooh.
Joey emphasizes, this is not that big of a deal. You're not really mad at me. There is something else bothering you. And Joey asks what Jesse's real problem is. Jesse snaps back, my problem is I'm living in the same house with you. Joey asks, what do you mean by that? And Jesse tells him, well, maybe it means we don't need three fathers. Haven't you ever seen that show, My Two Dads? Two is all you need. We see Stephanie and DJ secretly watching from the door. The guys both storm away, and as they try to get to their rooms, they can't figure out how to open the baby gates, so they hop
so
over.
So true.
So relatable. We did this in Fuller all the time. We could not open those dang baby gates.
Right.
And then Steph and DJ go back into the living room, where Steph is kind of worried. She points out that they seem really mad. She asks, are they going to get a divorce? And DJ ensures, no, not if we get them to make up. You get Uncle Jesse and I'll get Joey. We'll all meet back in our room. Steph compliments DJ, saying she has a really great mind. She picks up her tied together shoes and adds, if only you could use it for good. Steph and her zingers. I love them.
Yep.
So in DJ and Stephanie's room, Jesse's there with Stephanie, and he assures Stephanie that there are no monsters in her closet, but he'll check for her. At the same,
but there is a random Sprite can in there.
That okay? That was my everywhere you look. Oh, yes, no, that's okay.
Sorry,
but I noticed that too. I was like, and I rewound. I was like, wait
I
a minute.
I did too. Because I was
a
like,
soda can?
Is it gonna? I was like, is it gonna come into play? Like, is it there for a? And then I was just like, oh no, we just left it in there, and it was the Starbucks cup of Game of Thrones.
Yes,
it was like
exactly. We were doing the leftover cup
who put
before
their Sprite or 7-Up can in the closet.
It was probably one of us. It was probably one of the child actors who was drinking on the set when they weren't supposed to, drinking a soda, no less. And then just all just put it in the closet. No one will see it in the closet. It was probably from 3 episodes ago, too.
That's up high for a kid. I'm saying it's one of the adults.
Oh, okay. Let's blame John then, because John's okay. The one in the closet.
That's so. Who it was. Yeah.
Okay. It's John. So at the same time, DJ brings Joey into their room, convincing him that they broke a window. Joey walks right over the window, realizes it's not broken, and then looks over at Jesse, who stares right back. Steph announces, well, 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 look who's here. Jesse doesn't hesitate when he says, well, 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 look who's leaving. Joey agrees that he's out of there. And DJ yells red light to both of them, and they stop. DJ reminds them, we have a rule in this house, never walk away angry. And Steph begs, so say you're sorry to each other, please. This is such a cool role reversal. Like the girls have learned from Danny and they
are
implementing.
It's really cute. It's like watching the kids. They're like, oh, okay, we absorbed this and now we have to, you know, parent them sometimes.
It's very satisfying as a parent whose kids haven't really gotten that yet to that stage where they don't.
Yeah, right.
I don't
see
it yet.
But it's also like, it's such a cute moment because it reminds you that, like, you know, these are lessons that always come up in your life of, like, you know, whether you're an adult or whether you're a kid. And I think, you know, tapping into that, like, it made the adults and the kids watching this show be like, oh yeah, that is, like, I can relate to that. You know, it kind of grabbed both audiences and was like, this happens to everybody. So here's the lesson.
Yeah, it does not
that it's not just for
by
kids.
Age. Yeah, right. Even adults, they fight. They can't see. Yeah. They're blinded by their anger. They can't see past it. And the guys needed the girls to kind of interrupt this moment. Jesse and Joey give each other a very lousy sorry, and DJ admits that was pathetic. Danny opens the door at this moment and tells them all, well, I don't want to get anybody's hopes up, but I think Michelle is on the verge of a major breakthrough. The potty bell dings, and Danny exclaims, oh my God, we're missing it.
That was what I meant by interrupting, by the way. Okay. Was that Danny comes in and yeah.
Oh, Danny's very hype about this potty training.
Very hype. I mean, yeah.
So into it. Everyone runs into the hall to see if they can witness this breakthrough. Right as Michelle walks out of the bathroom with a huge grin on her face, holding a magazine under her arm. So cute.
It's cute, but how did she, finish all what she needed to do and pull the pants up and do the whole, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like
normally they need more help with wiping or getting redressed.
I'd be a little concerned picking her up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would not. I'd be like, let's
go take a bath.
Go take a bath. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't touch that magazine, I'll tell you that much.
No. But everyone laughs, and Danny congratulates Michelle on her triumph.
Yay!
Danny tells her, come on, little mouse. I'll get you ready, and we'll all go out and celebrate.
Aw.
We cut to the living room. They all laugh, and Jesse remarks, dear little pumpkin sucker. Joey asks, did you see her with that magazine? Was that too cute or what? The two are laughing with one another, and Steph asks, does this mean you're not going to get a divorce? Joey asks, what are you talking about? And Steph reminds them, well, you said that there were too many dads here. Jesse realizes the girls overheard them fighting, and DJ tells them, we don't want anybody to leave. Joey tells the girls that they all need to talk. So the four of them walk into the girls' bedroom and sit at Steph's tiny tea table in her tiny chairs. Joey emphasizes nobody is leaving this house, and Jesse tells them, we just had a little fight. Sometimes in the heat of the moment, you say things you don't really mean. And he adds, you know what I'm talking about. You guys fight all the time. But DJ tells him, well, we're sisters. We're supposed to fight. And Steph adds, it's our job. Kind of true.
My kids have said those exact same things. They're like, no, this is, we're legally obligated to fight. I'm sorry. This is how it has to be.
It's part of the job description. You must fight.
Right.
Jesse equates this to him and Joey. They fight like brothers. Joey is touched by this, and he asks, wait, you think of me like a brother? Jesse tells him, well, you definitely irritate me like a brother. Joey wholeheartedly tells him, that is the nicest thing you've ever said to me. And Jesse responds, we helped raise these kids together. We do the laundry together. We make school lunches together. Somewhere along the line, we became brothers and housewives. Joey,
or parents.
Right. Yeah. Just parents who are parenting. It's not gendered. Joey apologizes for springing that puppet on him. He explains, I thought it would be a big hit. I was trying to surprise you, but I guess I should have talked to you about it first.
Yeah.
Jesse admits that it was cute. Then he apologizes to Joey for getting crazy. He tells him, you know that thing you said about something else was that something else was bothering me? You're right. I'm scared. This is very sudden. And there's very like sudden violins. The music swells. And we know that like this is a serious conversation that's
happening. Jesse's having a life moment.
He's having a feeling again. And everyone is shocked. The whole room is shocked. Jesse admits he's scared of not making it. He says, you don't know how hard it was to break away from my father, to leave the family business. The thought of me crawling back, killing bugs again, admitting that I failed, I just don't know if I'm good enough. Man, does this hit an emotional button too? Because
yeah.
We just saw this a couple episodes where you had that huge fight with Grandpa Katsopoulos and leaving the family
now
business.
Now you see, though, why I was so confused when I watched this first. I was like, what is happening?
Yes. Yeah. You're so, like, wait, where was...
I'm like, oh, we had a fight and there was... Yeah, it's all tracking so much better.
It all makes sense now.
Mm-hmm.
So Joey reassures him, no one ever knows. I go through that same fear every time I jump up on stage and try to make people laugh. But you gotta hang tough. You got a real talent. Joey tells Jesse that they all have faith in him. Jesse thanks them, saying it makes him feel a lot better. Jesse admits to Joey that they make a pretty good team, and Joey agrees. They did some good stuff. Jesse asks if he still wants to be partners, and Joey responds, like Butch and Sundance? Jesse laughs and adds, Martin and Lewis? Steph shouts, Bert and Ernie?
Yes.
Yes, that's it right
Kermit
there.
Kermit and Miss Piggy, Bert and Ernie. I mean, back to the puppets. Yes.
You are just a lover of Muppets. From the age of six on.
I have Bert and Ernie on my wall, right?
Aww.
That in that painting.
You do.
But they're recreating a scene from Pulp Fiction, so it's not exactly like Sesame Street friendly. It's really funny, though.
Why does this not surprise me? So Jesse and Joey look at her in unison and say, no puppets. Joey holds out his hand and says, put her there, partner. Jesse says, come here, bro, and pulls him in for a hug instead. Steph yells, this calls for a tea party. The boys excitedly sit down and do a tea party toast with their tiny teacups.
Ooh, that's an alliteration.
Yes, yes, a lot of alliteration.
Tea party toast with their tiny teacups.
After they all take a sip of tea, Steph screams in horror, this tea is poison. They all grab their throats and fall over yelling, ah! And that is our show. A great callback. This
great,
was a great
yes.
way to wrap up the episode. Oh,
very,
such
very
a good
cute.
Episode. This was fantastic. Cute little button.
It was.
And that's
cute
it.
Little button. Great episode. Makes so much more sense now watching it in the correct order. I feel like I'm back on track now. I know what's happening.
And this is the beginning of a long, illustrious career of jingle writing for Jesse and Joey. There's much more to come.
More puppets to come.
Yeah.
There's there's a lot.
This is a great career move for them because Jesse is very musical, Joey's very funny, and combined, I do think they are going to make a great team now that they've gotten past this
jingles
sparkle.
In the late 80s night. I mean, I can still remember some of the stupid jingles from commercial. I mean, they play in my head in the middle of the night, you know.
Like, yeah, jingles, so commercials, radio.
Jingle writing was a big thing, you know, because people, the younger generation might be like, who, what jingles?
Like, jingles
what
are
that? And you're like, no, it was, you heard it on the radio, you heard it on the, it was a little song that stuck in your head and that, yeah.
And that was a sign of a successful jingle is if it sticks in your head for eternity, then you're like, oh, success.
1-800-EMPIRE. Yeah, it was like, you know, stuck.
So, so we already talked about my everywhere you look with the green soda can in the closet. Did you have a everywhere you look?
I did. I had an everywhere you look in one scene, and I forget where, I think where it's Jesse and Joey decide to start like kind of being partners or whatever.
Oh.
Dave is totally chewing gum in a scene.
He is.
He walks, and which is like such an, it's like such an actor no-no.
You're not supposed
gum
to.
In a scene. You're not supposed to.
Yeah.
But he comes in and he's like, and then I watch him like he's talking and kind of like tucks it back here.
Oh no.
And then I see like another like, and he's like, and I'm like, subtly chewing gum. It. Like, yeah. But it was, I was like, oh my God, he's chewing gum in the scene. So that was,
my little, Dave. That's actor 101. Do not chew gum in a scene. No.
And also, I had another everywhere you look.
Oh, what?
In this episode, a white Scotty sweater.
Oh, no way.
More Scotties. Three in a row. Well, three? Not the last episode, but the previous two to this also had the Scotty sweaters.
What, do you remember this being, did you have a Scotty dog?
No.
Were you just obsessed with Scotty dogs?
It was, my mom had one when she was, like, her first apartment when she moved out at 20.
Oh, okay.
That, you know, I used to hear, but I never had a Scotty dog. I didn't know that they were so popular.
Yeah, they were just on trend in 1988. Yeah,
they were like the French Bulldogs of 1988.
That's great. You're consistent too. You like Scotty dogs and they're going to be in evidence every episode.
Every single episode.
Aww.
But yeah, that was my everywhere you look moment.
Very good ones. I didn't notice either of those things. So I'm going to go back and watch for the gum chewing in particular.
Yeah. Yeah. He like walks in and he's like, and you're like, oh. I was like, is he going to blow a bubble? Is it like part, like, is there a reason? And then I was like, oh no, he just was chewing gum and like forgot.
Yep.
And just kind of shoved it in the side of his mouth. But another great episode. Loved this one.
Oh yeah. Great.
Super fun. Still, the DJ's First Horse is still,
is it still number one for you?
Okay. Still number one for me.
Okay.
Any other episodes are going to have to, I think, top that one.
It's a high bar.
Perhaps.
It's definitely a high bar.
It's a high bar.
Okay.
But our next episode may just reach that bar because our next episode, season 2, episode 6, is Beach Boy Bingo.
Oh, that's going to be a good one.
So this is, I'm just assuming the Beach Boys are in this one. I think it's a safe bet. And I'm very excited to watch that episode.
Oh, me too. Me too. Can't wait.
So can't wait to have you guys. So glad you joined us all, Tanneritos, for another fun episode of How Rude, Tanneritos. Make sure and join us next week where we will be watching season 2, episode 6, Beach Boy Bingo. Mm. Very exciting. And make sure you're liking and subscribing to the podcast wherever you're listening to it on whatever platform so that you can make sure and get the new episodes right when they come out. If you want to follow us on Instagram, you can check us out at How Rude Podcast, or you can email us at howrudepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your comments, your questions, anything that you want us to do a mini-sode about, questions about that stuff, or, just general comments about the show. We love hearing from you guys. And so we will see you again next week on How Rude, Tanneritos. And remember, guys, the world is small, but the house is full.
I'm kind of disappointed. I'm kind of disappointed that you're getting it right so many times.
Up here, I went,
caught yourself.
Pause before speaking, I generally correct myself.
So that's
that's the trick, and it doesn't happen often. So
the ironic thing is that you're the one that came up with this slogan back when we were developing the podcast.
But the best part, I don't even think I came up. I like said it, and they were like, "That's great," and I was like, okay." And so
it's taking you 6 months to consistently get it right.
So,
good job,
perfecting
Sweden.
It.
Good job.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks, AB. See you next week.
Bye.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.